many times we've had services in this church where people have been on the floor and everywhere else. I'm not going to be very long. I just want to kind of share a little bit what's on my heart about worship. It is so good to be in this place. I was here the first Sunday they had church in this place. I was over in the cleaners when they had church over there. I had some intimate times with Jesus in that cleaners. I don't know what they cleaned over there, but I guarantee you my heart got cleaned a few times. What a great church. If you've never met me or I've never met you, can I see your hand? Is there anybody? Well, my God, I ought to get rid of some CDs today. Listen, Pastor Sidney and Lori know, just a few months ago I left my worship pastor position at my church and decided to go in full-time ministry. I've been in full-time ministry for the last 5 years, but when you work for a church, you know you're going to get a check every 2 weeks. But when you're in full-time ministry and it's all you're doing, I had to drive. Anybody ever took a Lyft or an Uber before? I had to decide that. Well, there's a young man in the back that raised his hand. Well, I decided I needed to do that while I wasn't, you know, on the road and ministering. I just decided that there's some hurting people outside of the church, and then there's some hurting people on the inside of the church. And I said, God, however you can open a door for me to minister to somebody, I want to do it. And so he's opened up doors, and the only reason I really sell CDs is to try to help make some money. But, and you know, my kids got to eat something. Y'all know that, right? I'm not trying to get rich off nobody. But I have sold under 1 million of these. Look at your neighbor and say, y'all better laugh and get with it this morning. Because there's a few things that a lot of people here already know about me. And the number one thing is I'm crazy. I am, and I will always be, and I'm glad of that. I got the joy of the Lord, and ain't nobody going to steal it from me. And sometimes church is the deadest place you could ever go to. Not here. And it's like, oh my God, don't tell a joke. We'll go straight to hell. I was told when I was, you know, growing up in the denominational church, it was like nobody moved. And one Sunday we had some church and I started singing Amazing Grace, and I felt the first time I'd ever felt the Holy Spirit on me. And I couldn't hardly stand up. And God spoke to me and he said, there's more. He said, there's more. Biggest lie that church ever told me was that when I got saved, that was as much God as I was ever going to get. That's the biggest lie they ever told me. They didn't mean to tell me that, but that's all. How many of you know, if you're somewhere where the leadership is only right here and you're wanting to go right here, you got to go somewhere where the leadership's up here. Where you want to go. Is that where you want to go? I'm not talking about going to heaven. If he intended on us to go to heaven as soon as we got saved, then we would die. Lord, forgive my sins, I want to get saved. Boom, we'd fall over dead and go to heaven. The Bible says to occupy right here. There's three or four people over here that like that. The Bible says to occupy. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a dying world out there going straight to hell. Not just that, they need Jesus. All you got to do is walk out there and say the name Donald Trump, and they'll cuss you out. Or say the name of the Democratic Party, and they'll kill you over politics. Y'all ain't going to help me, because some of y'all might be one of those. But let me tell you something. God didn't come here, send His Son to change us from politics. He could care less. I know you don't believe that, but He could care less. You know what He wants? Souls. He wants more people to know in the power of the Holy Spirit and how it can change your life and change my life. That's what God cares about. I said, that's what He cares about. Hurting people. Look, you might not know this, and I know some of the men here know this because we had a little meeting a few months back, but I've had some jacked up people in my car driving downtown Atlanta. You get one of those lifts and you get paid, you go pick them up and all that. You have no idea what they're going through. You know what I say every morning at 3? Pray for me every morning at 3:30. Because when I'm not out of town singing somewhere, that's when I get up and get in my car and I say, God, this place right here is Your sanctuary. I have no idea what's going to get in this car. But I know this, the power of God that's on the inside of me can change whatever situation they're dealing with on the inside of them. Oh, come on somebody. I'm just telling, hey, a lot of y'all don't even know me. You know what? It's been about 15 years since I've even been on this platform to sing or anything, or other than the men's event we had the other night. And so I want to catch you up on what I'm doing. Is that all right? This means yes, this means no. Just want to catch you up a little bit and tell you what God's doing. And I also want to tell you that, and I've said this many times in the last few months to them personally, there's not a greater man and woman that I love on this planet more than these two right here. I said there's nobody on the earth that I love anymore, not even my own family, than these two right here. Oh, come on now. Honor. You got to give honor where honor is due. You ain't got to go get them a Cadillac or nothing. I don't know if they'd even drive it anyway, but I'm telling you, there's honor. When you've got somebody that's been consistent year in and year out and been through it, been through hell. I don't want to hang with somebody who ain't never been through nothing. I like to hang with people that's been through hell. Because if you're doing anything for the Lord, the enemy's going to constantly try to kill you. I said kill you. I didn't say play air hockey. I said he's trying to kill you. If there's anybody, any of the youth in this church that are trying to do something for God, guess what? The enemy's going to try his best to kill you and distract you. And he's going to try to get you to compromise. I'm thankful for these two right here because they've never compromised. We might go a whole entire year without talking to each other, and then all of a sudden I'll get a phone call from him just loving on me. Just saying, hey, how you doing? I've been honored and pleasured to be able to meet a lot of great preachers, men and women of God, but they don't care about me like he does and like she does. I'm thankful for these two. Very few people will I take a bullet for, but these two I will. And I love them. And I love this church. My God, if you only knew some of the... I was stuck in a rut so many different times, and I would come here and God would use Damon Thompson to prophesy over me at a time in my life where I didn't know if I was supposed to stay or go. And I left, and if I had, because of a word and a prophecy that I got. And I heard a word from him one time in this church that changed my life forever. And it's simple. It said, the more access you give God to your world, the more he'll give you to his world. Did y'all hear me? That changed my life. You might not like it, but I like it. The more access I give him to everything. Amen. I'm trying to get rid of these here. And the Lord just keeps talking. Look, I brought these with me, and y'all are really blessed today. Maybe not. Maybe you'll put it in and say, gosh. And don't call me Rascal Flats either. I don't want to hear that. I just got done with this. This is supposed to come out in a couple weeks, but you're the first church that's got an opportunity to get it. Look, I do have the old Master of the Wind CD because somebody mentioned it on Facebook. It's from 1998. I don't like the way I dressed on it. I don't like the way I sound on it. I don't like anything about it. But today, guess what? If you buy these two for $20, you get this one for free. That's a blue light special if I ever heard one. And again, I'm not trying to get rich. Just these two alone cost about $50,000 to make. And I didn't pay a dime. There were people that just came out of nowhere and said, "We want." How many of you know that you can put music in your house and it can be playing while you're on vacation and it's going to set an atmosphere when you get home? Come on, y'all. How many of you know that? That's the kind of music I like to make. The kind of music that ministers to God and then sets an atmosphere where anything can happen. Tell somebody, anything can happen. Ain't that right, Scott? Come on up here, brother. I'm going to give you these. My brother from another mother. I love this one right here. You're another one that's been consistent, my friend. Oh, you give me a hug? Thank you. All right, I just want to talk about worship for a second, and then we're going to move on, and we're going to worship, and then we're going to pray for some people. I just feel like that there's some hurting people in here. Did you know that God is not as much concerned when we fall as he is that if we just lay there and don't get back up? I can't imagine and even tell you how many times that I have fallen and I can't get up. Wait a minute, that's a commercial. How many times I've fallen, y'all, I made some major mistakes in my life. And God was always right there to say, okay, now get up. He's my daddy. Can I tell you a little bit about my family real quick? Because that's going to go along with my message. My daddy was a hacking preacher. Do y'all know what a hacking preacher is? You remember that? You remember when he came to tell it at one time? He told Sidney, he said, "Brother, don't ever leave this church." You know, he can't say church like church. He said, "Church." That was the Baptist church. And when he left, I remember, Sid, he left that church. I went, "Really? Where'd he go?" My dad loved them, but he only came out here maybe a couple of times. But yesterday was 11 years he'd been passed away, but I love my daddy with all my heart. My daddy was a loving man. He loved me. It aggravated me, right, because he would always, y'all gonna laugh, he'd always like just do that to me while I'm walking by him or something, you know. He did, and I was like, "Daddy, quit. I mean, I'm a grown man." I'm like, "Quit." He goes, "I just love you." You know, that's how he was. He was a loving man, and it aggravated me sometimes. Because it's like he always wanted to hug on me, and he always wanted to love on me, and he just always wanted to tell me, "I'm proud of you." He told me this time, I guess it was about 11 and a half years ago, he told me, he said, he actually is one of the ones that gave me the money for the music, gave me a lot of money. And he said, "Here." He said, "I don't like that music you do." He said, "But I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's more proud of you than I am." How about that? Some people, they don't like music, or they don't like the way something... They like to put God in a box and just say, "Well, this is it. This is all, you know," but not my dad. He's like, "I love what you're doing and I'm proud of you." I didn't know that 6 months later he was going to die. And then he passed away, and I got to thinking about, how many of you know when something happens and somebody, you lose somebody, you think more and more about them, and you think about all the times that he called me. I don't like fishing for nothing in the world. I know a lot of y'all do. You go fishing. If I go fishing, it's got to be deep sea fishing where they bait the hook for me and all I got to do is go, and then they'd take it off, you know, for me. So I'm not a fisherman. I just ain't. But my daddy would call me time and time and time again. He bought a brand new boat about a year before he died. He always wanted a boat. He moved pianos for a living. And he got to the point where he was moving about 15 pianos a week at about $400 a pop. He was doing good. Worked his whole life. And all he wanted was his son to go fishing with him. And I every time he'd call me, I'd say, "I just don't know. I don't want to go. I don't set out. I ain't much. Boy, I'd give anything to do that now." And you know what? I do the same thing to my 4-year-old and my 6-year-old that he did to me. My 4-year-old the other day said, "Daddy, get off of me." I said, "I just love you. I can't get enough of my kids." And I say that to say that God can't get enough of us. Some of the men here already know about my son, my 6-year-old, but I just want to tell you a little bit because it goes, I want to talk about worship. Worship is dear to my heart. Worship has pulled me out many times. Worship has caused me to be above and not beneath so many times. I give anything to love on my daddy again, but I had the most loving father, and now I do that to my kids. I have a 6-year-old who has autism. Anybody have any family members in your life that have autism? Can I see your hand? He's 6 years old, and he's never said my name. He's 6 years old, and he's never looked at me, and he's never said, "Daddy, I love you." Now, he's a good look. He's good looking as anything you've ever seen. And he has his ways, folks. But when you're somebody's father, he can't help it. And they never tell you that they love you. It's hard sometimes. But it's not as hard because he can't help it. So one night, and I don't know if I told the story last time I was here. There's so many stories that I could tell of him. I could tell you the story of when he was about 2, and he didn't walk till he was 3. I could tell you the story about when he was 2 and a half, and my wife was gone out of town, and you know, you have those little things in your bedroom where you can hear them and check on them and all that kind of stuff and hear what they're doing. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I woke up and I thought, "Oh my goodness, I better go check on him because she's not here." And I got to listening in the little thing and I heard him. She had been playing a CD of mine that had a song on it. And I heard him and I was like, "What in the world?" And I cut it up and I heard, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, ooh." Feel this atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our He wasn't singing it. He was humming it. Long for to be over. And I thought, well, on the CD, the next thing that would come up would be the bridge. He probably won't remember that. Then he started humming. He was leading me in worship, and I didn't even know it. Oh, this messes me up, and I'm not trying to cause you to be emotional about something like this. Folks, this is how God gives me revelation about my relationship with Him. And I want to share it with you, because I don't know what your relationship is, but I know it was just a few weeks later that it was late, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a light sleeper. Everybody in my house sleeps heavy except me. It's like it doesn't matter. Somebody could do anything, and then I'm awake. And then I heard him in his room, and at the time we had to lock his door because he would, if he got, and it sounds bad, but if he were to wake up and walk out, he could do anything, hurt himself, because he wasn't at the time as aware of his surroundings. But he kept on shaking the door, kept on shaking the door, kept on shaking the door. So finally, I went to the door, see it, and I was like, okay, if I open this door, this is what he'll do. He'll come in here and he'll play or do whatever he's going to do. I'll never get any sleep. So I thought, okay, I'm open the door. I opened that door. And look, y'all, he's standing there looking right at me. Anybody ever seen him on Facebook? Some of you are my Facebook friends. He's got the most beautiful eyes and the beautiful eyelids. He's the most gorgeous. He is, period. You can argue with me all day long. He's the best looking child. Now, my 4-year-old's going to have to grow into it. He looks like me. Asa's going to have to grow into it. But he's so beautiful. And I mean that. He is. He's looking right at me. He's just looking with a smile on his face. He grabs me and he pulls my arm and he pulls me all the way through the living room. I'm like, Judah, what are you doing, buddy? His name's Judah. He said, I'm like, what are you doing? He takes me all the way to where the rocking chair is. And I would have gave him $1 million if I had it. I picked him up and I rocked him in that rocking chair. And he looked at me. He smiled at me. He worshiped his daddy. And in that moment, there's nothing that I wouldn't have done. I would have healed him. I would have set him free. I would have bought him a brand new car. I would have took him to Disney. I would have done anything. The Lord spoke to me and he said, that's what I want for my kids. All I want them to do is want to jump up in my arms just one time and just look at me and let me love on them as they love on me with their worship. And the difference in God and in me is He can take all that is wrong and He can make it all right. Whatever you came here with today, if you'll just lift up your hands and say, Daddy, pick me up, take me right. Sometimes we all have to do it. I have had the pleasure over the last several years of traveling all over the world with singing and ministering, and it's been the highlights of my life. But I fall, I make mistakes, I'm insecure. I don't feel like I've always got it together, but I can always look to my daddy and say, Daddy, I need you to hold me. It's an expression of worship. I said it's an expression of worship. Do you know what expressions of worship are? I want to tell you about just a few of them. How about in Mark 12, when the widow gave that mite? Now, there were people all around her that gave a lot of money, who had a lot of money. But here's the difference. She gave all she had. She gave everything. There's a difference. How many of you have ever... Pastor Sidney was talking about it this morning. We got to give Him room. How many have room for Him? You have to give Him everything. I remember one year when I was at this church and they gave Pastor Sidney and Lori a truck. I remember that. I was here that Sunday. But when they gave them the truck, they didn't say 6 months later, hey, we want it back. Because when you give somebody something, it's theirs. So you can't call them up and say, hey, look, I think you probably need not to drive it as much and don't wash it as much and don't work in it as much because it's not yours anymore because you gave it to him.
If you're here today and you're like me and you've given Him your life, it's not yours anymore. It's not yours anymore. You cannot dictate to God what He does with your life. You have to surrender. She gave all she had. That's extravagant worship. Come on, say extravagant worship. Oh, what about Abraham? Y'all know that story, don't you? God told him to sacrifice his son. Genesis 22. And guess what he did? He followed through with all of it. But right at the last minute, God provided. Whatever it is you're dealing with, the Lord just says, just do what I told you to do. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide it. It's going to happen. Some of you don't know how that bill is going to get paid, but He said, I provided it. Oh, come on, just worship Him. Do what I ask you to do. I'll take care of it. And you know what the greatest act of worship is? It's obedience. 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 Come on, somebody say obedience. What's God saying to you today? In just a couple of weeks, Pastor Sidney's going to talk to you about, do you have room enough in your life? Have you made enough room for Him in your life? In the day that we're living in, we have got to make room for Him to have all of it. There are hurting people. I'm going to go down a list of just some of them. There are homosexuals who need you to share Jesus with them. There are drug addicted people that need you to share Jesus with them. There are alcoholics. There are people struggling in their marriage. They don't need anybody to look down their nose. They need somebody to direct them into the way they need to go, into worship. All you have to do is create an atmosphere. Create an atmosphere. You don't have to preach. I very seldom go into any church and preach a 5-point sermon like most preachers. Usually I'll do worship and I'll share something from my heart and create an atmosphere. That's all we have to do today is create an atmosphere. There's someone here today who needs to be saved and don't know Jesus as your Savior. The greatest relationship you will ever have in your life is knowing Him. I don't have to preach. I had a Muslim in my car just the other day. And I didn't have to preach to him. All I had to do was set an atmosphere. And before he got out of the car, he was inviting me to do music in an event where I'm the only person that will be doing Christian music. You just have to make yourself available and give God room and then create an atmosphere. And you know how you create atmosphere? You don't have to be able to sing. Randy, you ain't got to sing, brother. All you got to do is just go through your house and say, Lord, I bless you. Walk down the halls. Lord, I love you. You took those nails for me. I worship you. Lord, just stir up the gifts in this room right now. We need your healing. We need your touch. We can't live on what happened 20 years ago. We need a fresh touch from you. That's all you have to do is open up your mouth and just begin to bless Him. You say, oh, I'm having marriage trouble. Get your wife by the hand and start singing over her. It doesn't, you misunderstand. You don't have to be able to sing. It's not about singing. Declare some things and God will take what's wrong and He'll make it right. Thank you, God, for making all those wrong things right. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you are my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. See, we come in and we come in and we praise and we talk about how great God is, and then something happens in the atmosphere when we start talking to Him. When we start singing to Him, it's so basic. I know everybody in this room knows about it. But when you start, you go from that place of talking about how great God is, look at what He's done, and then you start to sing to Him, the atmosphere is charged and anything can happen. So this is what I want you to do this morning. I want you right where you're at just to lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and begin to declare some things in your life right now. Come on. There's power of life and death in your tongue. Healer, fill this place. Deliverer, fill this room. Oh, yeah. Come on, say, here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, I love this little chorus that says, freedom reigns in this place. Come on, say showers of mercy. Showers of mercy and grace. Falling on every face. Come on, there's freedom. There is freedom. Come on, I want to get the band and praise team up here. Come on. Freedom, see, say, freedom reigns in this place. A minor, yeah. Showers of mercy and grace. I know that it's falling on every, there is freedom, there is freedom. Come on, lift your voice one more time. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy, and oh, I know that it's falling on every, there is freedom there. Come on, lift your voice with me. Say, Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns in this place. Shower me with your mercy. Showers of mercy. And oh, I know that it's falling on every. Somebody needs to just throw your hands up and say, there is freedom. Come on, declare Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers, showers of mercy and grace. Oh, I know that it's falling on it. Come on, right now, where you're standing. Come on right now. I want that young man that's preaching next week to come on. Come on. We're going to pray over. We're just going to flow. Pastor Sidney, when it's... Come on, some more fellas to come up and let's pray over him.
showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Oh, there's healing right now. Healing rain. Healing rains in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Oh, it's freedom right now. It's freedom right now. Oh, we need more of your presence, more of your glory, Lord, in this house, in our lives, in this church, Father. Oh, freedom. Freedom reigns in this place.
Somebody here today that's been dealing with depression, I want you to get down here. I want to pray for you. I've been through it twice, and God freed me both times. That somebody's been dealing with depression. Come on, don't be scared. We're going to sing this again. If that's you, I want you to come down here. I want to pray for you. Oh, it's falling on every face. Come on, sing it now. There is freedom.
Sing it now. Oh, and freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Oh, freedom. Freedom reigns in this place.
Somebody else. Come on, say freedom.
Freedom,
freedom reigns.
He reigns. He reigns.
You need healing. Somebody need deliverance this morning. No weapon formed against his people is going to prosper. Say there is freedom. Come on one more time. Jesus. Jesus reigns. Showers, showers
of mercy and grace.
Oh, I know it's falling on everything.
There is freedom.
Come on, sing. Say, Jesus reigns in this place.